Hi guys, welcome to the Tales of an African Princess in America podcast. My name is Ozzy.
For the second time, Mr. Ernest Onuri is back with his students visiting Silicon Valley again this year. If you remember last year, we had him on the podcast talking about the Project Silicon Valley experience. And they're back this year, and we're here to hear a little bit more about what their project is about and what their trip is about. Welcome, Mr. Ernest.
Thank you very much, Ozzy.
Okay. For those who didn't get a chance to listen to the podcast last year, tell us a little bit about you, where you're from, so they have some kind of context about what this project is about. Let's get to know you a little bit more.
Thank you. Hello, listeners. My name is Ernest Onuiri. I am a teacher in the Department of Computer Science at Babcock University. Babcock University is a privately owned Seventh-day Adventist institution of higher learning. I have been working there for about 8 years now. My first 2 degrees are from Babcock University, and after which I signed up to teach. And so I am driven by a desire to empower those who come through me. By that I mean especially my students, to become the best they can be. I'd like my students to be empowered, to be equipped with as much as possible that gets them to not just become practitioners, but to have the capacity to create, be innovative, to live even beyond expectations as far as information technology is concerned. So that's just a little bit about me.
Okay. Pleasure to have you back on the podcast. So you just said that graduated from Babcock, your first 2 degrees, and now you work there. How did this whole idea come about? I'm sure when you were a student, this kind of program was not there, right? So what gave you the motivation to start something like this?
Okay, we come from a background where computer science is practiced or taught in a manner that falls short of what you can find in institutions of international repute. And I mean, the reasons are not far-fetched. Very little funding. And so that causes a major gap in terms of the capacity to bring up students that are able to measure up to global levels. You can relate to the fact that back in Nigeria, education is poorly funded. And so that limits the extent to which you can do in terms of research. So we come from a disadvantaged background. If nothing is done to breach that by way of creating something out of the norm, then it's going to continue that way. Besides all of this, there is a lack of synergy between the academia and the industry. And so you see that here in the West, take Silicon Valley, for instance, you have a number of universities or colleges around that directly influence what plays out in Silicon Valley. I mean, you hear talks of a number of alumni being responsible for thousands of startups here in Silicon Valley. And that appears to be something that is really, really lacking. And so I thought within myself that there has to be a way to bridge that gap. If I would like for my students to eventually graduate and be able to play at that level, then there has to be a way of showing them what really plays out in environments like this, where the very best is on display.
Okay.
And so that inspired the program, and by the grace of God, this is the third time that we're making this trip to Silicon Valley, and I must confess it has been rewarding.
Okay. I know that every year you bring your students, your computer science students from Nigeria, Babcock University, to Silicon Valley to get to, you know, visit some of these really, really innovative companies like, you know, the Facebook, Twitter, all these companies. What is a trip really for? Is it just like some sort of sightseeing for the students, or?
Okay, so the trip goes beyond sightseeing. Sightseeing is just something that happens on the side. It's a platform to get the students to interact with the best you can find in the industry. The engineers, the executives, technologies that are being used at these very high-tech companies. So when we talk about this trip, we're saying we get the students to Silicon Valley. So we have a list of companies that we reach out to. We pay visits to these companies. We spend quality time with their engineers. They show us their technologies. We get to ask them relevant classroom questions, industry questions, market trend questions, you know, questions that are able to get the students to think or reorient them into thinking in the direction that will help them make decisions that will see them plug into the tech space when they're done with school. So it's not sightseeing. Sightseeing is something that does happen, but that is not the main thing that happens when the students come here to Silicon Valley.
Okay. And is this trip open to all your computer science students? How do you pick who comes on this trip?
Okay. So on that, we're still, this is a program that only started in 2017. And so there are certain ideals that are still a little far-fetched. And that is basically as a result of funding issues. Okay. And what I mean is, at the moment, only those whose parents feel ready or are comfortable or are able to afford it do subscribe. The long-term plan is to be able to have kind of funding arrangement by philanthropists, by even Babcock, to enable us heavily subsidize the trip so that not just those who have the money gets to attend, but those who actually should be here are able to come here.
Right.
Yeah.
I know for you, a lot of people would look at you and say, oh, you know, this is actually fun for you because you get to travel every year to bring these students to the U.S. to see these companies. But I know you're taking time out that you could be spending with your family. You know, you're taking time out that you could be using to do other things that are important to you as well. What are some of the challenges that you face just planning a trip like this?
The challenges are actually immense. And that is because coming to the United States of America, you go through a major task of getting the visa, which sometimes can be a big deal because the dynamics of the American consulate there in Nigeria is one that is heavily unpredictable.
Right.
Take, for instance, people who are in Europe, they come into America visa-free, they don't need all those drama. But for us, we have to go through the pains of going to the embassy. It's never a straightforward affair. So that can pose as a huge challenge for us because, I mean, we've experienced visa denials. Wonder why? Because every aspect of the trip is justified. We have not for once violated the business for which we have told the embassy we were coming to the U.S. We always come here, spend the amount of time we said we would spend, and then we leave. And everybody gets to leave. So nobody stays back, and there's no history of such. And so you want to wonder why some of these denials happen when they do. So that can be a challenge. Then apart from that, there is the challenge of not being able to get on board this trip. Some special students that I know will seamlessly fit into what happens here at Silicon Valley, but for funding limitations.
Right.
And so what we have done is to increase the awareness so that, take for instance, a student comes in as a freshman and then gets to know about it. And even if the money isn't there, there is that intentionality in terms of planning so that at least before that student gets to graduate, where planning is put in place, such a student should be able to participate. Mm. And then we've also had issues with trying to get funding from the institution itself. They have certain financial commitments that makes it very, very difficult for them to subsidize what we are doing at this particular point in time, which has made us to look to external sources and private ventures to see if there are ways they could assist with this funding to get the best minds to get to participate in this program. But so far, That has not been fruitful. But I mean, like I said, the program is still at its infancy. If by God's grace it endures, I believe that at some point we'll be able to get some interests from external places that will be able to help finance this trip. And then from a personal point of view, of course, it takes a whole lot of time, takes a whole lot of effort. It really goes beyond me having to come to Silicon Valley every year. The truth of the matter is when somebody envisions something, it's not always easy for another person to be the executor of another person's vision. So for now, being the initiator and the one who envisioned this whole thing, it's still too early to pass it on to someone else in the name of limiting how often I come to this place.
Right.
So that time is going to come. That time is going to come when the program is strong enough to run itself. And so it wouldn't matter whether I come or not. We would have had a strong network with this community here in Silicon Valley, such that whoever it is that is asked to come with the students will be able to manage with little hassles. So it's just a matter of time. We'll get there and things will take care of themselves. Yeah.
I see what you mean. A lot of times when you travel outside Nigeria, there's restriction with funds, right? You probably can't use your bank cards. You can't. So people don't understand that coming to the US from a country like Nigeria, there are lots of restrictions, like a lot of things that you might want to do. You have to put a lot of things in place beforehand. So it seems like a lot of planning just goes into, you know, the time that you spend here. And how long do you guys typically spend every time that you're out in Silicon Valley?
When the program first started 2 years ago in 2017, we spent 10 days.
Okay.
Likewise, last year. But after last year, it was clear to me that 10 days was a lot of fun for the students, but it was a lot of stress for the planner, which happens to be me. You know, I had very, very time in between to at least rest, relax a little, because so much goes into the logistics of getting everything to work seamlessly. And so I made effort to extend the number of days from 10 days to 2 weeks. Okay. And so this year we are spending 2 whole weeks. I think it's felt better. We've rested better in between, because the program can really be intensive in the sense that sometimes you go out as early as 7:30, 8 a.m. and then you're back to the hotel at 7 p.m., 7:30 p.m. So that's 12 hours of being, you know, on the road, moving from one company to another, spending quality time, taking up all these intellectual interactions and all that. So the current outlook is that we're going to run it for 2 weeks and hopefully sustain that going forward.
All right. Well, it'd be nice to hear from one of your students to actually get to hear what they think about Project Silicon Valley. I know I've had an interview with you previously last year, but I'd also like to hear from one of the participants to kind of hear a review from them, if that's okay.
Okay, so I'll ask her to introduce herself.
Okay, sure.
Okay, hello.
Hi, I've been talking to Mr. Ernest about the Project Silicon Valley, but I'd also like to hear from a student to hear what your experience has been on this trip. So can you tell our listeners what your name is and just give us a little introduction?
Okay, so my name is Lamina Precious. I'm a final year student in the Department of Computer Science at Babcock University.
Okay.
And I'm also a web developer, like career-wise, yes.
So. That's interesting. So how did you hear about this trip? How was the announcement made for this Project Silicon Valley?
Okay, so I heard it for the first time I heard it was in school. Like, they talked to us about the trip. That was in my second year. Mm-hmm. Then in my third year, I heard from students that went the previous, that same year, they told me about the trip and how fun and enlightening it was. So I got interested and then.
So having a review from someone who's actually done something is much stronger than having like your lecturer tell you, hey, you have to attend this or you should attend this, right? Tell me a little bit about what your day is like on this trip. Can you just walk us through like a typical day on the Project Silicon Valley experience?
Okay, so before we start our day, we know what's going to be happening that particular day. Okay. Because we have like a little calendar that shows us okay which companies we are going to be visiting that day. In the morning, we go to the companies that we have to visit. We spend like maybe 2 hours at the companies or more if needed. Then that's basically how the day goes. Then we come back to our hotels.
Okay. And so far, what's been your favorite part of this trip?
My favorite part of the trip would be when we visited a company called DocuSign. Mm. And we met one of the engineers there. He was talking to us about how to improve ourselves to get jobs at Silicon Valley, and he was telling us about the fundamentals that we need to know about since we're studying computer science. And then he did like this little practical session where he did like a little interview, like a coding interview. He gave us like a question, and then anybody that knew the answer should come up. So I attempted the question, even though I didn't get it, that was close. But I think that was one of my favorite parts of the trip, because I got to actually see how it would be like when you're interviewed.
Okay. And prior to this time, had you visited the United States, or is this your first time? Or
oh, this is my first time.
Oh, so how do you like the U.S.? Is it anything like what you envisioned? What is your experience being in the U.S. like?
Well, it's been really cool, cold, especially like really, really cold. Yes, it's been what I expected. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the cold has been shocking.
Well, I think you guys came at the right time, because winter is over. We're now in spring, even though it's still a little bit chilly, especially if you're not really used to the weather. But I think California is, so far, I think is the best place for you to be right now, because the weather is not as harsh as other parts of the U.S. Yeah. So now that you've been to the U.S., you've seen Silicon Valley, you've interacted with people that work here, DocuSign, how has that changed your focus? Do you feel like it has impacted you positively or negatively? Do you feel like anything has changed?
Yes, a lot of things have changed for me personally. Like the trip has really impacted me positively, because it opened my eyes to a lot of things that I didn't really know about, like in Nigeria especially. It's really taught me a lot of things of how I can think and look outside the box. Mm. That instead of me like confining my whole mind to the little things that I hear every day. So it's kind of really, it showed me a lot of things, and I'm going to definitely use them to improve myself and to better my career.
Okay. And when you go back to Nigeria, when you go back to campus at Babcock University, do you feel like you will recommend this trip to your fellow students, or would you recommend
this trip? Yes, definitely. I feel like everyone should come on this trip, because it's really, really, it's amazing. It's everything is really good.
Okay. And Precious, when I was talking to Mr. Ernest, one of the things that he said was that the trip is expensive. Babcock University is school fees is already a little bit pricey, and parents are doing so much to ensure that their kids, you know, get the best education and things like that. Was it difficult for you to convince your parents that, you know, you needed to go on this trip? Like, how easy was that for you?
Well, the first time I heard of it, I told them. But I didn't really like accept it at that time, because I was still in my second year, and they're like, oh, you're not into the whole traveling by yourself situation. But when I told my dad in my third year, he immediately just agreed and was like, if I want to go, if I really want to go, then you pay for it.
Well, it's been a pleasure speaking to you, Precious. I hope you enjoy the rest of your stay. I'm really glad to hear your experience, because it's one thing to hear from the organizers, but it's really something to hear from someone who's participating in it. And so thank you for sharing your experience on the podcast. I really appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
You were listening to the Tales of an African Princess in America podcast. If you'd like to get in touch with us, please visit our website, talesofanafricanprincessinamerica.com. You can also email us talesbydrozy@gmail.com. You can follow us on social media on Facebook, Tales of an African Princess in America, or on Instagram, African Princess in America. If you enjoy this podcast, please leave a rating on iTunes. Welcome back.
Okay, so now we go back to Mr. Ernest, because I really want to know a little bit more about the establishments that you visit. Precious has talked a little bit about DocuSign, and I'm not a computer person. I'm in biological sciences. So can you tell me what DocuSign does?
DocuSign is a company that primarily powers the signing of documents.
Okay, as the name implies. Okay.
Yeah, it's possible you've had to sign a document that's been facilitated by DocuSign at some point.
Hmm.
I'm sure if that has happened, then you may reflect on how seamless it was made to look. So rather than take your document from one person to another and get them to put the, you know, and append their signatures,
mm-hmm.
you do it. It's kind of transmitted through your emails, the email with which you subscribed to them.
Okay.
And so it just moves seamlessly from one person to the other, and then you get your document signed. Yeah. So that is their primary product. They have some other peripheral products, but this is the key, their signature product that makes them stand out.
I think I've seen something like that in my email once, and I know a lot of people I work with don't really trust all these signing things online kind of thing. Okay. I know one particular lady who every time we have to sign something and it's multiple people required to sign stuff, she tells me, okay, we're going to have to print that out, because she believes that if she signs something electronically, it can easily be cloned. I don't know how true that is. Well, I'm going to ask you guys, is that possible, or are we crazy to think that putting our signatures electronically would somehow make it easy for other people to, you know, copy our signature and use it for fraudulent purposes?
Well, you know, fraud is something that you cannot rule out when it comes to the cyberspace.
Hmm.
But then there are platforms that, to a very large extent, minimize the possibility for such to happen. And so these digital signatures are things that are protected using all manner of digital means, like encryption. And so for DocuSign, to the best of my knowledge, it's almost impossible to actually breach their mechanism to the point that someone can get to compromise what's being done.
Right.
And so the documents get encrypted before they get stored in the data center facility of the company. And so that's some level of security we're talking about. Mm-hmm. I guess her fear is tied to the basic digital signatures that people get to do, save it on their computers and then use it to sign documents and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's very, very different from the way the DocuSign mechanism operates. And so it's almost impossible for that sort of compromise to happen with the mechanism that DocuSign has in place.
Okay. And so what other companies in Silicon Valley have you visited this time around?
We've been at Facebook, we've been at Adobe,
okay,
Apple, then we were at Twitter, we were also at Amazon, Stanford University,
okay,
42 Silicon Valley, which is like a code academy. We've also been to Intel, as well as Beta. What's been very, very refreshing about some of these visits is that in some of these places, like at Twitter, Facebook, and Intel, we've had a rich Nigerian community get involved with the interaction.
Okay.
And most times you find out that the professionals in question at one point in time in their struggles were like, you know, some of these are our students who were back home in Nigeria having crisis about career, about what to do with themselves,
right,
identity crisis, you know, and then they had to come over to this country, possibly had to do an MSc and then got job placements from one small company to another and then to the very, very big top players. And so such experiences go a very long way to inspire the students. It's been a very, very, very immense breath of fresh air for most of them, like you have the students say.
Yes.
So there's so much that plays out here that challenges them.
Mm.
That educates them, that enlightens them, that changes their entire worldview. They begin to believe that they are able to do the impossible. And so that is a very, very huge and massive positive for me. When you hear a student say that coming here has changed everything, And I get this from even the smartest of students.
Yes.
And so that for me is something that makes me believe that the program is living up to its billing.
Okay. And do you have any idea? I don't know if you keep track of this, but do you have any idea of how many students have come to Silicon Valley so far in the past 3 years put together?
So far, we've had at least 40 students.
Okay.
At least 40 students have participated. And let me also remind our listeners that last year, I wasn't the only faculty. I had my head of department on board. And so in the future, hopefully, we're going to be having more faculty members participating, because the enlightenment, it cuts across. It's not just for students. I mean, if as a teacher, you come and then you interact with these people and you get to understand the kind of technologies that they are playing with, that they deem crucial and most necessary at this particular point in time, then that also gets to influence how you structure what you teach your students when you get back home in Nigeria. So we're working towards getting more faculty members to participate in the future, and I hope that we get to succeed on that.
Right. I hope so too. One of the things that we spoke about last year was sponsorships, right? We spoke about how we can get more students involved in this project. This project obviously has an enormous impact on the lives of your students, but there's still that problem of sponsorship, and there are students who would like to participate, but they don't have the funds to do so. So what measures do you think need to be in place for more students to participate in this program? Do you accept sponsors from outside? Is there a platform where people can actually say, you know what, I like the program, I want to sponsor a student? Like, are there mechanisms in place if someone were to say, I want to give you guys money today to sponsor XYZ students, XYZ number of students? Is that avenue open where people can actually do these kind of things?
Well, the avenue is open. We may not have found the right way to maximize the outreach to get members of the outside community to get to know that such a program is ongoing and we have funding as a limitation. But one thing I have made clear each time we visit these companies is to let them know that it is a challenge. I have had verbal assurances that have not yet concretized. So I am actually hoping that things will go forward. Like I said, it's a program that is still at its infancy, and so I believe that in the no distant future, we'll begin to get to the point where we have something concrete in place that supports the funding of the participants. I am believing that we are close to making that happen. I was in discussions with one of the alumni that helped us to facilitate our visit to one of the companies where this alumni currently works. And that was a very, very important part of our discussion. And I have assurances that if we press forward, that we will be able to get some breakthroughs sooner than we are thinking. Yes. So, but then this is also appealing to listeners out there that this is a program that seeks to empower and enlighten and also help improve on this issue of diversity in this part of the world where there is a dearth in the number of blacks you find in this community. And so if we can find something of this, if we can find sponsors that will help grant this level of exposure to our students so that they begin to think positive about their capabilities to measure up to what it takes to work in a place like this, then that will be, it will be very well welcome. So, but the plans are in place to see how far we can improve on this outreach and get more outsiders to get to know about it. And hopefully we can cover some grounds on that.
Okay. Apart from these corporate sponsors, one thing I know that could help is making use of the alumni community. So there are a lot of students who have been to Babcock, a lot of students who are doing really, really well, a lot of students who went through, you know, the computer science department. I think that the alumni community is also a strong base that can give back to the university. They can, you know, even if it's to sponsor the best student who's in Babcock, who might not really have the funds for it, but would like to participate, I think, in addition to corporate sponsors, individuals, the alumni community can also do something. It's just an idea. Yeah.
I totally agree. And we will be exploring all these possibilities in the coming weeks.
Yes. Okay. So a lot of our listeners have heard you and they're excited about this project. They'd like to follow up with you to see what's going on. Where can they find some of the activities that you guys are currently doing on this trip? And also, if they want to reach you directly, can you give us an email address or a LinkedIn profile, somewhere where they can reach you? They really need to talk to you about this project.
The project has an Instagram account called Experience Silicon Valley.
Okay.
Yes, and my LinkedIn account name is Ernest Onwiri.
Okay.
So my first name and my last name, and boom, you'll find me.
Okay.
And then feel free to reach out and let's discuss on what ways we can partner to move this program forward.
And for our listeners, I also have this information on our website, www.talesofanafricanprincessinamericapodcast. I also have it on our Instagram page. So if you need the details of the awesome people that I've had the privilege of speaking with tonight, I'll have all that information on our Instagram page. So, Mr. Ennis, you've done really, really well. I have to commend you. This is no easy fit, like bringing students. You're responsible for all these students you bring every year to see Silicon Valley. I think it's an awesome project. Well done. I think that this project can go places. You know, your students are already saying the impact of this project on their lives. Can you tell me where you see this project going?
There are quite a number of possibilities that arise from our visit to these companies. One of the visits we had, one of the companies we went to last year, gave rise to a discussion that is still being perfected. We're going to be hosting a conference for young IT professionals and students in IT sometime next year. And it is under the full approval of that particular company here in Silicon Valley in terms of powering it, funding it, and helping us with its execution. And so that is one angle. Secondly, there have been discussions to facilitate internships for our students who seek to come all the way down here for their internships, which normally takes place when the students are at their penultimate levels, session here level at Babcock. That's 300 level students. Those are two good examples from the trip from last year. From this year, we had robust discussions from one of the companies with a very, very rich Nigerian communities, and they are interested in how we can create something that will impact the activities that take place at Babcock, especially in the hardware side of computer science. And so, some of these things are very, very healthy spin-offs that play out in a dimension that sometimes you are not even able to predict, but which are very, very well anticipated. And so it is my hope that as we continue in further discussions to solidify on these plans, that the desired effects will be reached. So beyond what plays out in the lives of the students,
mm-hmm.
There are such discussions that take place that are able to impact the life of the university from which we have come. Then something else, we have this conference that we hold once in 2 years, powered by the School of Computing and Engineering Sciences.
Okay.
So I have been able to get two participants who have agreed to be part of the speakers at the conference. And so These are things that we believe are positives that we can draw from this program, even though they were not originally part of what we had planned to achieve. So as a matter of fact, beyond the primary objectives of coming here, which is largely student-centric, there are other benefits that are coming along with it. So we are thankful to God for that.
Okay. Well, it's been a pleasure speaking to you about this project. Thank you so much for sharing your vision with us. Thank you so much, Precious, for being on the podcast. I really appreciate you guys today. I wish you an awesome rest of your stay. I hope you get to meet and engage with as many people as you can. And to our listeners, if you have questions, if you have comments, please feel free to reach out to me. I'll have all the details of our speakers today. Thank you so much for being on the podcast, Mr. Ernest and Precious.
Thank you very much for having us. The pleasure is all ours.
Okay. Have a great evening.
And you too.
Do you know that about one in every three people in the United States listen to at least one podcast every month? That's millions of people listening. And do you also know that every month, thousands of podcast listeners listen to the Tales of an African Princess in America podcast? Well, do you have a business, service, or event that you would love others to hear about? Then look no further. To promote your services on the podcast, send an email to talesbydrozy@gmail.com today. Or you can visit our website at www.talesofanafricanprincessinamerica.com.